Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Man, we got to start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
Yeah, so I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment or have the money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, and then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff at like a store with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all the bank transfer stuff?
No, it's just right there. It's easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
I feel like here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right. 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right. Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings. We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
Hello and welcome back to Sibling Revelry. And I say welcome back because I'm alone again. And so I'm welcoming you back to Sib Revelry because the Ling is working. You understand what I'm saying? I'm the Sib and Kate is the Ling. The Ling is working. She's doing a gig at Netflix. And I'm here to just make this shit hot. I'm here to you know, throw coal into the fire so this train just keeps moving. Would I like to be doing a Netflix show with incredible actors and laughing and playing and making a ton of money every day? No, I wouldn't. I'd rather be here speaking to you, everyone who's listening right now. And you know what? There's a good chance that our audience doubles right now. There's a good chance. I have a feeling. And I don't mind going solo. You know why? Because I get to just speak what comes into my mind. And if anyone could crawl into my head, it would be a funny, a scared, an anxious, a dangerous place. Because this brain just does not stop. We have some fun guests on today. I do. Clay Aiken, Ruben Studdard. Now, this is American Idol in its infancy. This is when I was obsessed with American Idol. We have two unlikely best friends. They're brothers from another mother, and that's how we're tying this whole thing into the sibling aspect. They are going to be on The Masked Singer. They have got all kinds of shit going on, and I'm just excited to hear about their friendship. How it all started, what American Idol meant to them, and then also the pitfalls of it. I hope that they are okay with my line of questioning because, again, I don't have Kate to sort of keep me on the rails. I'm going to go off the rails. Enough about me. Let's get to Ruben and Clay. Bring him in. Let's see how they react to the solo Hudson Express.
Hello.
Hello. Where's our Ruben?
I'm here.
So I know my sister was supposed to be here. There might be some disappointment, you know, from you guys, but I promise that I'm better looking than my sister. I'm cooler and much funnier than she is. She doesn't add what I add. You know what I mean? She doesn't do what I do. Okay.
That's what I say about Ruben every time we do anything together.
You do. I just want to make that clear. I'm happy to have you guys on. I mean, I really am. I've watched you from the beginning. That's no bullshit. You know, I was a crazy, crazy American Idol fan. And it's really an honor to sort of have you guys on and talk about your experience and your friendship and your brotherhood, honestly. So let's start with Clay, shall we? You know, and then we'll bring Ruben in and then we'll converge and meet and smash in the middle. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Ruben,
you have to say something.
Dude. This is your issue. You're taking everything as a sexual innuendo. No, you are. Get that out of your head. You know, smash.
He makes himself very easy to pick on, but he's a good guy. He makes it easy for me.
Smash can mean many things.
All right. I don't make myself easy to pick on. Motherfuckers just like to pick on me. And that's fine. I'll be there.
He can beat us both up, though, so I usually lay off after a while.
So, Clay, just give us your sort of, you know, your moment, your rise, your, you know, from childhood sort of up. We don't got to get into the weeds, but just your story a little bit.
Both Ruben and I grew up in Southern homes. We grew up in church. We had very similar upbringings. And I mean, the rise, I think it's kind of crazy to think, Ruben, it's been 20 years and people, you know, it's been so long that now we are part of the Idol history. Right. But you know, I think for everyone, they recognize us both from American Idol 21 years ago now, since we did the show. And I don't know if it's because our season was so new. It was because it was so new for everyone. They didn't have the same sort of, we didn't have the stakes going into it that I think other people in later seasons had. We didn't realize how big it was going to be and how big it would become. But for that reason, we all kind of went into it thinking it'd be a great summer camp experience. And we didn't go in with this competitive edge against each other. And so Ruben and I just became really good friends in large part because of our kind of shared similarities, loving music and our backgrounds in our home states that we both loved. And we stayed friends since. And so, I, you know, at least for me, Ruben's been performing himself solo for the past 21 years. For me, I stepped away for a long time. And the only way I was willing to come back was to perform alongside him.
Oh, really?
So we've spent the last... he's finally been free of me for how many months? 2 months now. But prior to,
dude, Ruben, that's a lot of pressure. Clay's like, I have the voice of an angel, but I've sort of put it on the shelf, and the only way that I'm coming back is if you do it with me. You know.
Well.
Okay. Don't go there again,
I had,
bro.
I had to say I could only sing with someone who was as good. That's why.
And when did you guys sort of meet on Idol? Like how soon in the process?
Pretty early on. Like, I mean, we hadn't made the top 20 anything. Yet.
We hadn't made the top anything. Yeah, we were in that hotel and Ruben saw, I was surrounded by ladies for different reasons than Ruben likes to be surrounded by ladies. But but he saw me with a group of girls and he thought I had game. So he was gonna come over and flirt with them also.
You thought he had game? Is that where you were?
I really did. I didn't like, I mean, because none of us really knew one another. So, you know, you only getting to see the way people interact with one another from afar. And for some reason, this particular guy had like a room full of women talking to him. I was like, oh, let me go see what this, what's going on over here.
That is funny. That is funny. And then boom, you guys met, and that was that.
Yeah, and to be clear, like, I think everybody that was on our season, that was on the season proper, we all, for some reason, like, had a relationship with each other before they chose us. Like, it was a weird kind of, like, gluing together of the people that made the top 10 on our mm-hmm. season. Like, we had each other because they gave us cell phones when we made it. And everybody that was on the top 10, I had their number mm-hmm. before we were in the house together. And I think I might even had Josh's number, Clay.
It's really interesting to kind of, we've both gone back to the show in recent years and mm-hmm. to see the dynamic between the contestants now, not that they don't get along, they do, but there's not this sense of camaraderie. I mean, it's a machine, right? It's mm-hmm. this huge machine now mm-hmm. and it runs smoothly like a machine. But for that reason, the contestants, they don't have the family atmosphere that we did. I mean, we actually ate dinner together. We lived in a house together. We did everything together. And that has not happened in decades at this point.
I think you're probably... There's probably, you know, more of a societal, technological sort of just, you know, evolutionary shift in our culture that probably brings that on as well. You know what I mean? Right. Like when you're thinking about 20 years ago, you know, that's a long time ago. I mean, things were much different than they are now, right?
Yeah, we didn't have cell phones to occupy our time. We had
right.
to talk
there
to
was
each
no,
other.
And not only that, but I think, you know, it's just even as far as brain capacity goes, you know, we're more thinking and inclined to be a part of a community. That's how we get our dopamine, by actual human interconnections, you know, rather than worrying about TikTok or how I look or my appearance or, you know, all of these things that come into play, you know, to sort of be a cog in that machine, a successful cog in that machine. You kind of lose yourself in that rather than sort of sitting down across from someone at a dinner table, you know, just generally.
I think it was really genius too in the way that they made those, our responses to people leaving the show. It wasn't like a put on, like we were really jacked up when somebody would leave simply because they made us have dinner together. It wasn't like, oh, today is at Tuesday. You guys can like either go have sit here or go to the Beverly Center. No, mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock, everybody was made to be at the table having dinner, having conversation with. I mean, like we could not. We also had to have our cell phones. That was a rule. Mm. We couldn't have cell phones at the dinner table. Like they were, they called us kids. Everywhere we went, come on, kids, come on, guys. We're like, man, I'm freaking 24 years old. Like, stop calling me that. You know what I mean? But what they were doing was programming us to act like family. So when they got us on camera, all of those responses to people leaving were real. And that's I think that was the genius part of the production.
So you think that there was actually psychology behind that? There was science. Yeah.
I think that's me and my conspiracy theory. I think
why wouldn't they do it now then? But I mean they could get that done now, and I don't think they don't necessarily have it anymore. I think that part of it was that they did not want, they didn't know what they, I mean, honestly, they didn't know what they were doing when we were on the show either. They were still figuring it out. The show had become enough of a hit season one that they got renewed. And season two, it became a huge hit episode one. You know, it all of a sudden they were dealing with 20 million viewers. They hadn't had that the season before, and they were figuring it out. Actually, after our season was over, they came up with a whole bunch of rules about whether or not producers and staff and production team could fraternize and be friends with the contestants, and they cut all that out. Ruben and I are still good friends with the showrunner now, who and other producers who are still there 20 years later, we're still good friends with them. They never had those same types of relationships with later seasons because mm-hmm. they kind of became a number one production after we left. They mm-hmm. didn't know how to do it. So they were different rules when we were on the show. It kind of, I think we're thankful.
Yeah. What was that house like? You know what I mean? Like, were you living in the same house? Like, what's the behind the scenes shit? Like, what were you guys doing? You know, when really? You were rehearsing?
There wasn't a lot of time when we weren't rehearsing. Like, right. even, I mean, there were always, because we were recording things for different people that were a part of the show. So when we weren't doing American Idol stuff, we were doing Old Navy stuff. When we weren't doing Old Navy stuff, we were doing Coca-Cola stuff. When we weren't doing Coca-Cola stuff, and for the most part, all the time, Ford stuff, all the time. So we were, and the girls had to do Herbal Essence commercials. Like, we were always...
I'll give you the dirt. Ruben's nicer than me. I'll tell you, I dated one of the people on the show who worked on the behind the scenes. My very first boyfriend ever was someone who worked on the show. I won't tell you more than that, but there were some relationships. Ruben, you didn't get any relationships on the show. I know. I did. I was not the only one who did at all. So there were a few things behind the scenes. Nothing salacious or dirty.
No.
Did anything wrong. But
this was your first boyfriend.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. How long had you come out?
I had not. I came out to him.
No way.
Yes, on the show. Ruben, I didn't come out to you to win, right? Not too long after that.
No, it was a while after that. It was like on tour.
On tour afterwards. Yeah, I didn't come out to anybody until we were on the show. So I didn't come out to myself till I was on the show. So for me, I can't speak for Ruben or anybody else. For me, leaving North Carolina, going to Los Angeles alone for the first time too. Ruben, you lived alone before we did Idol. You were working, right? I had not moved out yet. So for me, it was a very eye-opening experience in general. And I'm not saying that in some sort of, I'm very boring, but it was the first time I had been around people who enjoyed the same things that I did, liked music. That's where the school I went to, the place I grew up, people knew I liked to sing, but I didn't have a group of friends who were like that. So it was a very eye-opening experience for me in that way.
Man, we got to start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
Yeah, so I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment or have the money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, and then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff at like a store with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all the bank transfer stuff?
No, it's just right there. It's easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply. You looking for some amazing TV to stream? Sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu that you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. All right, absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew, and How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu. Don't you want to find out how he met their mother, huh? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek and see what's up in the Kyle household and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Can you even watch all of this? Well, we think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb, and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Would you say that moving there and being a part of Idol and sort of finally finding your tribe, so to speak, allowed you to sort of feel more comfortable with who you are, your sexuality, to then come out?
It certainly didn't hurt. I mean, I still didn't come out till after until after the show. But you know, getting out there and recognizing that there are people who enjoy the same thing you do, and we were all supportive of each other. I mean, that's the other thing Ruben was talking about too. I mean, I think in later years after our season, people realized this show was a hit. There were 40 million people who watched our finale. And so everyone who auditioned the next season, Fantasia auditioned, and her season, they all knew what they were getting into. They knew, holy crap, Ruben and Clay just had 40 million viewers. Everyone's watching this show. We're on the cover of every magazine. They went into it knowing, I want to win. I'm going to compete. We all went into it having no idea it was going to be big. And so we're really supportive of each other. He's right. When people left, we were, I mean, I was happy that I didn't go home, but I didn't want to see anybody else go home. There was just never this competitive nature at all.
Oh, really? None.
Did you feel, you didn't feel competitive at all, did you? I mean, you just with yourself.
I mean, I only was trying to be the best version. I really came into the show trying to learn the business of music. And it's because, you know, I've been singing and trying to be a professional for so long. Like, American Idol was my first real shot. Like, I've had, you know, had several record contracts given to me before Idol, like several opportunities that just always fell flat. And it's, and I always used to say, well, that's what you get in Alabama. You know what I mean? Or that's what I'm going to get around here. And I was like, I needed the opportunity to see like what the real business was. And so for me, I was always just trying to pay attention to what was going on. Like, I was very focused on what all the people, the musicians behind the scenes were doing with us. Like, this is why I created American Idol with like being the reason why I'm so great in the studio, not to like toot my own horn, but like like I really learned how to be a professional recording artist on that show. And for me, it was an invaluable experience. Like, if I wouldn't have won, the amount of experiences that you cannot pay for, like to say that I was in the studio recording a song with Burt Bacharach, is you can't pay for that. Like, that's
crazy.
There's no amount of money that you could offer somebody to say, if you could have a day in the studio with Burt Bacharach, who, you know, has made a million stars, like, how much would you pay for that? We didn't have to pay anything. All we had to pay was our time and effort.
And then beyond the show too, Ruben, I mean, it wasn't just, we worked with Burt on the show, right? But then after the show, as complicated as it may be, we both had albums made by Clive Davis, you know, and right there towards the peak of his career, he's still obviously working, but I mean, we just did a tour together, like I said, last year, and we would talk about the experience with working with Clive every night on the stage. And every night we'd both kind of just think, wow, how many people our age can say that they got to make an album with Clive Davis? I mean, they're three, me, Ruben,
it's Kelly. Crazy.
That's something that no one else around us is able to do. So, I mean,
I forgot, did you guys have mentors on that show? You know how like later on in the seasons they had like the mentors each week. And did you guys have that? I don't remember.
We did.
And was everyone in that season pretty big time?
Way big time.
Well, for us, everybody was big time.
Everybody.
Well, but what I'm getting at is like, because I, you know, you watch these shows, you watch Idol, you watch other, you know, where they bring in someone to mentor, and you're looking at the contestants and wondering, but does that person even know who that is? Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, and they're interviewed. They're like, I cannot believe so and so is here. And you're like, dude, This person has no clue who that is. You can just tell.
We knew because we didn't just get mentors. I'd argue we got legends. We didn't even get current pop stars. Gladys Knight, Olivia Newton-John, Lionel Richie, Neil Sedaka. I mean, they were huge, huge legends.
And everyone was cool. No one was a dick.
Oh, God, yeah. Nobody but me.
You were? Were you the diva, Clay? Were you the asshole on?
Not on the show. Maybe afterwards. Not on the show.
Once you tasted a little fame, you're like, all right, now.
We went in the studio and recorded a single with Burt Bacharach. Paul Anka was on our season. There was no one who didn't know.
Crazy.
I spazzed out more on Lamont Dozier because everybody was like, that was the one that everybody was like, well, who is? I was like, man, y'all don't read the back of these records that y'all be singing. Like, because, you know, all of us are huge. Everybody that was on our show was a huge Motown fan. And like, to not know that this guy is the guy that like created the Motown sound. I mean, because, you know, Smokey and Barry were the face.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But this guy was the one that was really, you know, putting that work in, you know, and so we had the opportunity to sing his songs in front of him was just like, you know,
it's crazy.
You can't buy those, you know, those moments.
Yeah. Amazing. So when going back just to your friendship and how that kind of blossomed throughout this experience, you know, and when you were homies with Clay and then Clay comes up to you and that moment that he tells you that he is gay, right? How did that work? Were you nervous even doing that, Clay? You know?
No, I don't think I was.
And how did it play out? And Ruben, were you just like, all right, cool, whatever?
Yeah, that's actually pretty much what I said.
I probably built it up to be far bigger than it was. And if I remember correctly, he and my actual brother both responded the same way. If I'm not mistaken, I don't want to put a quote into your mouth, Ruben, but I may be quoting you wrong, but if I remember correctly, it was something along the lines of, I'm straight enough for both of us. So it was either you or Brett who said that. I can't remember, but I mean, you know, I think what continues to make our friendship strong is not only all the stuff we have in common, but the fact that because we are all so different, I mean, we do have a lot of interests in common. We have a lot of background in common, but we also are different enough that we both don't have unreasonable expectations for each other. I don't expect Ruben to like all the stuff that I like. He doesn't expect me to know all the stuff that he knows. I mean, he'll teach me about sports because I'm dumb about them. And, you know, if he's looking to see what Broadway show to go to, he'll ask me for a recommendation. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily expect the other to agree with us on anything, even still. And I think that there's a great benefit and a strength to not having unreasonable expectations for the people who you are friends with or family with, because it tends to be when, you know, if I expected Ruben to agree with me or to want to do our show a certain way or to have the same opinion of me, then when he didn't, I'd be disappointed. But because we are different enough, we know, okay, he knows that I'm probably going to come out at something a different way than he does. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't upset him when I do. He just goes, well, that's Clay.
So where would you say your deep connection stems from? And then, you know, the flip side of that question is, where do you guys sort of butt heads? And has it gotten to a point, especially when you're working together? You know what I mean? Like when you're in close proximity like that, it can go two ways. You know, it can be bang, bang, or you can be all love or what?
I think our deep connection stems just like for me, with any of my friends, there are shared experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like my best friend from childhood is our shared experience is church.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you know, everything our friendship is based on happened in my home church. For our deep connection is the experience that nobody in the world other than the other maybe 20 people that have gone through the experience that we have made it to the end of that show together, like the way that we did. But I'm just like with my own brother, God rest in peace. He and I bumped heads on all kinds of stuff, and he's still my brother. Like that, like us having differences of opinion doesn't change the familiar feeling that we have for one another. Like I'm, you know, I'm sure you and your siblings have blowouts all the time, and you will still go to bat for them regardless. Like that's just, you know, like, I am, and this is one thing that I will say that Clay and I differ in. Like I am a musician's artist. Clay is a production artist, right? So most of the things that I care about happen on the level of musicianship. The things that Clay cares about happen on the production level of show. So whenever we are bumping heads about a show, it's usually always how to deal with music or musicians or how to deal with production or something of that nature.
Right. So you want like a beautiful stand-up bass solo, and then Clay wants pyrotechnics.
It would be something along those lines. Or for example, the last tour, you know, just budgeting. I'm very nitpicky on those types of things, and Ruben is very extra generous. And I'm like, nope. So I mean, we have had some arguments that have been heated over those types of things usually, but again, I go back to the fact that because Ruben's expertise is in music, if it's musical, 9 times out of 10, I will eventually just say, you know what, that's his department. And 9 times out of 10, he'll look at me and say, well, you know what, Clay handles, you know, handles the budget stuff or whatever that is, the technical, you know, the logistical stuff. And we'll eventually just agree to disagree at some point, you know. I mean, it comes down to the fact that you can't make old friends, right? We're getting to an age now where we are seeing some people who we care about pass away. We are we're watching as family and friends who we've had for years move to another place or whatnot. And there it becomes so much more important, I think, to all of us as humans. I mean, I think we all have sort of a homing device in us at some point. We want to get to an age where all of a sudden we care about going to our high school reunions, which we never cared about going to before. We care about catching up with that person from church when we were a kid who we haven't spoken to in 30 years. And I think for Ruben and I, it's just, and not just us, but so many other people, I think when you get to a place, you realize there are only, like he said, so many folks who remember what it was like 21 years ago to experience what we experienced, to go through those things. And I have, neither one of us have any interest in losing the ability to reminisce about those things, right? So we'll call each other up sometimes because we have an, I just remembered such and such, or I just talked to so-and-so from 20 years ago. Can you believe this? And after a while, there are a few people in your life who you can go for. I mean, Ruben and I haven't gone for that long a time without speaking to each other, but there are people who you can go for weeks without talking to. But when you pick up the phone, it's like you hadn't been away at all.
100%. Those are like all my friends.
We are at that point, you know?
You looking for some amazing TV to stream? Sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu that you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. All right. Absolute must watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew, and How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu. Don't you want to find out how he met their mother? Huh? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek and see what's up in the Kyle household and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Can you even watch all of this? Well, we think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb, and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. Now, it gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. So apply for Apple Card now in the wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com. What about vulnerability? You know what I mean? Like, are you guys able to like be very vulnerable with each other and emotional and talk about those kinds of like deeper feelings or issues that are going on in your lives or your wives or your husbands or whatever it is? You know what I mean? Because, you know, I deal with that. Just to preface that question as a male, vulnerability has always been difficult for me, especially with females, interestingly. With my mother, with my sister, with my wife, it's been difficult for me to just talk about how much I love them and how I feel about them. If I had to say, hey, you know, I just want to tell you how much you mean to me and how grateful I am for you and all of these things, I feel like I want to go away, hide under a rock. Now, that goes into my own psychology. You know, which if we had another podcast episode, I could get into. But, you know, learning to be vulnerable and opening up was definitely something difficult, you know, for me as a man. Are you guys able to do that?
I don't think I've ever had an issue with telling the people that I care about how much I care about them. And and I say this because I was around very masculine men that were cool with being that way. My grandfather... Mm. When he loved you, he loved you. Like, he wanted to hug you, you know, shake your hand. Like, my grandfather was, you know, that way. And subsequently, it made all of his sons that way. Mm. So, like, my uncles will, they will beat your tail, period. But if they love you, you will know it. You know what I mean? Like if my uncles love you, like you're going to know it. And I feel like all of us boys that have grown up around that have benefited from being able to tell our friends and family members, everybody that is close to us, how much, because, you know, like I remember a moment before my brother passed away, he said, you know, it was always refreshing to know, like always know how we felt about one another. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about having a sibling like him is because, you know, I'm my mama's baby. And so I always had everything I wanted, never really forced to share. And my brother was like, oh, nah, like you're going to share with me. You're going to, like, I'm going to make you do the thing. And I told him this before. I said, you made me better. Like, he made me, like, in every aspect, because even like in football, having him as my older brother made me more competitive because I was always trying to beat him.
Mm.
So nobody around me, like that was playing, I never felt like I would lose to them because I was always not competing with them. I was really trying to beat my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, what made me want to beat Clay even more is when my brother said, ain't no way you beating that white boy. That's exactly what my brother said. And I was like, oh, what?
He thought Kevin
was definitely my biggest fan. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
And now that I look back on it, maybe that was like my brother, like little brother psyching me out.
Because
he knows
you're competitive. You have a competitive side. You're a baller, right? You've played football.
Yeah. Anything he ever told me I wasn't going to do, I ended up doing.
When you lost, was it even a thing? Does it sting a little bit?
I had seen the card before we walked out on stage, so I knew.
You did? By accident?
Yeah. Ryan had turned around and I had seen the name was, Reuben Studdard is a lot longer than Clay Aiken. Yeah. So I've seen it. But if you go back and look, I'm actually staring at Reuben so intently in that moment, but I know he was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Because I wanted to see his reaction. I knew that he had won and I wanted to see it. And so
you said it's you. And I said, shut up.
Tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, I ruined that. Oh, sorry.
It's you. And I said, shut up.
I ruined the surprise.
He couldn't hold it
in. Didn't change anything. You still won.
No. Well, let me get into the Masked Singer and then I'm going to let you guys go. But before we get into that, I just want to get into the living situation more. Like, where were you living? Was it close quarters? Was it, big house?
We had a huge house.
Yeah. No, we had a big house. You did.
A big house. And everyone got along.
Yeah, I mean, just as siblings would. I mean, we certainly bickered every once in a while. But everyone, not only
and
did
were,
everyone
were there cliques?
I wouldn't say they were cliques.
No.
There was a hallway of dressing rooms that had three dressing rooms on it. And we tended to kind of group together. Reuben and Ricky and Charlie would hang out in the front one. Some of the girls would hang out in the middle and me and Kim Locke would sit in the back and we'd all watch Young and the Restless being taped on the other, on the other set.
Right.
But there really weren't any cliques at all. I mean, we all kind of gelled together. Obviously, there were some people, Reuben and I stayed in touch completely. Kim Burtley Locke and I became roommates after the show was over. And there were some people who probably had a stronger bond, but there was no one who didn't get along and I would tell you, because I ain't got trouble spilling tea, but so nobody didn't get along. We all got along and we really were, I think it was just so, like drinking from a fire hose, right?
So we
didn't have time to get into fights with each other.
Look, you can't, it's hard to, seeing what Idol has given you guys, you know what I mean? Just as far as experience, as far as situations to work with some of the greatest legends of all time, you know, advancing your careers, bringing your friendships close, you know, you can't really knock Idol for anything. But I mean, was there any dark side to it in the sense of like, man, they're running us ragged, or like this, you know, this is too much, or, you know, was there anything like that?
We didn't know to know that it was too much.
I guess this is just how it's done.
Yeah. Like we didn't know, like we just thought it was par for the course. Honestly, like, having other experiences on other shows, I was like, oh man, they chilling over here.
Right. Mm-hmm. We now look and think people complain about things. And I'm like, wait, we didn't even have a union then.
Right. Okay. So I've had friends who've been on it. It looks fun as hell. I've actually asked, I've been asked to do it and I said yes, but then I was doing a series and they couldn't clear COVID protocols at the time, but I was very excited because if you guys don't know, I have an incredible voice.
We can tell.
Yeah, it's you know, I could like, let me break something out. Like, ooh, yeah. Oh, baby, 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 yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. He does have a voice.
Lately, I've had the strangest feelings.
No, that ain't it right there. That's not
picking
it.
Me
I'm
up.
Having a strange feeling right now. Also,
right. When I ask you all the thoughts you're keeping,
you probably would win Masked Singer because they would have no idea.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to guess, right?
No, exactly. So you know, it's an instrument that I just keep quiet because honestly, no one wants to hear it. But listen, Masked Singer, what was that like? You guys get to do your shit together, which is I'm probably super fun. And then more importantly, putting on those outfits, like, holy shit.
It was cool. I will say that it was cool. Other than, you know, somebody I know getting on everybody's nerves, I ain't going to say no names.
How in the world did I get on anybody's nerves?
I mean, we're getting cut today, aren't we? We're going home, aren't we? We're going home.
I knew it. But you know what? That's because Reuben, that's because I have experience getting cut and you don't. if you had experience getting cut, you would have known it. You would have sensed it like me, but I'm an expert.
Were you being the negative Nelly? Were you like, oh, we're done. We're not getting.
No, I wasn't negative. I knew exactly when we were going home. I could tell. I just smelled it on that end. And it was that day. I know I drove him up the wall, but I was just trying to prepare you because I was an expert. I knew I could
How
tell.
How did you know?
Day to day. I could smell, I could feel it in the air. There's something, you know, like when it's about to rain and your ankle starts hurting, I could feel it. It was like that. Although I will say we both were probably tired of those costumes. It's a very weird experience, right?
Because, is it?
Yeah. And like, I mean, every other TV activity, anything else you film, there's a community, right? But with this, you have one producer that is yours. You have a vocal coach type, you know, helper that is yours, and you have dressers that are yours, and you don't see, nor do anyone else see you the entire time you're there. I'm so happy that we did it together because otherwise it'd be very lonely, I would imagine. See anyone else at all.
I have a friend
who is completely.
I have a friend who did it. I guess the dressing rooms or the curtains and shit, right? Like where you can kind of hear, and this person made it and the other person kind of didn't, who's an actual singer. And she went off like crazy about my friend making it. Yeah. And he can hear the whole thing, you know, it was very, 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 very.
Well, they've changed those rules now. Now those dress rooms are far enough apart. You don't even get to hear or see anybody.
Oh, really?
You don't know who's around you. Yeah, we couldn't hear anything at all.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay.
But I could kind of feel that though, because like you, I got a little tight when I heard like some of the singing. I was like, oh, we got cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I'm going to tell you, I mean, since this is airing afterwards, I know why we got cut. I knew why. I could see it coming. We were Beats, right? We were the Beats. We had these huge Beats over us, and these costumes were cumbersome, to say the very least, wouldn't you say, Ruby?
Yeah.
They were not the easiest things to get around in. And we've done very well as vocalists. I would argue, Ruben, that we might have been the better singers of everyone this season. However, that last showdown at the end was so much about performance. And we couldn't see where we were going. We had we couldn't see our feet. And even if we could see our feet, you can't dance when your entire body is a beat. I mean, we were just orbs. There was and we could move our hands a little bit and nothing more.
Yeah.
The other person who made it past us in that round, you know, had this pop and lock thing going on. I would have voted for him too because they were, you know, we kind of got screwed into our big old beats.
Well, because it's not all about voices, right? It's not all about voices. It's about the whole performance. And you're right. See, here's the thing. If I was choreographing you, I'd play into that. Meaning I wouldn't try. I'd be bumping into each other on purpose. You know,
even on accident.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying. Like costume.
We need to put him in a beat and see how much he could choreograph. You couldn't move around in this beat, man. You couldn't move at all.
And that's what I'm saying.
Our eyeballs, the eye holes for the beats were down at our stomachs. So we couldn't even see out the eye hole. It was a brilliant experience, and I don't think either one of us would complain. It was fun to do, but
the other thing too though is, you know, you get paid as you move on, right? So there's a monetary, you know, reason why you want to keep going, and that's where the competitive nature comes in as well. You know, where it's like, well, fuck, man, if we move on, we get a little more cash.
Well, fortunately for Ruben and I, we left that show the night we got cut, and we flew directly to back to our tour. So we went right back to work. We were on tour the whole time, good. So it didn't hurt us too much, but it would have been fun. And poor Ruben, I dragged him down because, like I said, I've lost two shows now, three now, but I lost Idol and I lost came in second on Apprentice also, and then it was just a matter of whose luck is going to rub off on the other. Is my bad luck going to rub off on Ruben, or is his good luck going to rub off on me?
And well, look, you won life.
My bad luck was stronger. I'm sorry, Ruben.
You won life, buddy. I mean, come on. You know, look, I'm an actor and a producer. I need a job. All right. This acting world in this world after the strikes and everything else, man, I'm hustling money. We're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna let you guys go. I appreciate you, and you know, keep it rolling. Are you guys done with your tour, by the way?
We are. Ruben's promoting an album. Tell him the album name, Ruben.
Oh yeah, what? Yeah, give me what you got going.
The Way I Remember It.
Mm. It's good. He wrote some love songs to his wife.
Oh,
and
really?
Baby girl. Put those babies for me, Rube.
I will.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Maybe we'll hang out down the road.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, there we have it. Solo interview by Oliver Hudson. Kate, what'd you think about that? Oh my God, I thought it was so funny. Like, Ruben was so great. I know. Isn't it amazing how you know, how they became friends, and how, you know, Clay came out to Ruben. He wasn't even know.
I know. I mean, oh my God, like in the room, and I wonder what that must have been like. It's like probably so crazy. Like, anyway, Oliver, that was so fun.
I know.
Oh, good to see you, Kate.
Yeah, good to see you too, Oliver.
Oh my God, I just changed characters in the middle of my voice.
You're looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu that you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are streaming on Hulu. Then you can move on to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food, and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.